You know, they say only 45% of Americans actually keep their New Year's resolutions, which seems high to me. But to prove it, we went out on the street and we asked people this afternoon what New Year's resolution they have already broken. Enjoy.
What was your New Year's resolution?
To stop smoking.
How's that going for you?
Not so good.
What was your New Year's resolution?
To eat more kale.
And how much kale have you eaten?
I've eaten one piece of kale and almost gagged.
What's your New Year's resolution?
Well, I'm turning 30 Saturday and I stopped smoking cigarettes.
How many cigarettes have you actually had since New Year's?
Half a pack.
New Year's resolution this year, definitely try to eat healthier, work out, not get in any trouble.
Yeah. What did you eat for lunch today?
Okay, it's gonna be, I had Krispy Kreme donuts. It's really not a good start.
Take your program with me. How are you doing on your New Year's resolutions? I understand. You know, everybody wants to do well. We want to change. We want to have something better. But how do you pull it off? I'm Robin. I'm the lead pastor here. Welcome to East Lake. We call this a church for everyone. And here's the reason. Jesus cares about everybody, loves everybody, wants everyone, and wants to help everyone. We're in this series called Restart, How to Make This Year the Best Year of the Rest of Your Life. Last week we talked about the soul. You can always check our website out. We talked about the soul being the most important thing in our life. It's kind of our operating system in life. And we had this analogy of soils. Your soul can have sort of four different characteristics. And the idea was sometimes you have to put something into your soil or you have to take something out of your soil that helps things grow. So the big thing was, if this is going to be the best year of your life, what do you need to put into your life this year? And what do you need to take out of your life? Then the week before that, we met a person in the Bible. His name was Bartimaeus. He's blind. He was born blind. And when he met Jesus, he wanted to know one thing. He'd been all his life struggling with this one question: do you care about me? And it wasn't just that he was blind or had bad times, because we all wonder that in bad times. It's like, God, don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you care about me? It was deeper than that. In his culture, the prevailing wisdom of the day was, if bad things happened to you, it was because you were a bad person. If your life wasn't going so well, then God didn't approve of you, and he let bad things happen to you. So his whole life, he's been taught and trained, well, it was something your parents did, it was something you did, and all these things that have happened to you in your life, you're blind because you're a bad person. So when he saw Jesus, he has this one question: is that true, Jesus? Did all these bad things happen to me because I'm a bad person? Have you ever wondered that? He's like, man, you know, is this happening to me, God, because of all the things that I've done? And Jesus gets it all cleared and settled, and then he asks him this question: what do you want me to do for you? And of course, he knows right away. He goes, I want to see. If Jesus were to ask you just the one question, for whatever reason, he were to just come and ask and say, what do you want me to do for you this year? Do you have the answer ready? He says, I want to see, Lord. The Lord says, bring him over to you. Remember in the little story, there was this detail. He had this old coat on, and I don't know what was so about this old coat, but he throws the old coat off, and he plunges into the crowd to get to Jesus. And there's like this picture. There was something about this coat. You know, everything he wanted to see happen in his life the next year, the kind of relationship he wanted with God, I don't know what it was about this coat, you know, but he was like, I got to get rid of this. And we used it as a way of looking at our life. Is there something in your life that's old, it's been there a long, long time, and you need to get rid of it? Now, today the topic is strength. It comes and goes in life, and when strength goes, how do I get it again? It's the big idea. Write it in your notes. Learn how to renew your strength. And here's what the Bible says. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Circle that, renew their strength. They will soar on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So problems will always be there, but with strength you can soar over them. Hey, thanks for coming to church, by the way, today. Big snowy day today, so I appreciate you forcing yourself out and being here and getting a chance to worship. And today the topic is strength, because strength comes and goes, but I'll need it this year. This is going to be the best year in my life. I'll need strength. And just because strength comes and goes, you know, it doesn't mean I don't need it when it's gone. How do I get more strength? Question of the day, learn how to renew your strength. I wanted to ask this, how teachable are you? What's your track record? When's the last time you were trying to show somebody how to do something, and the entire time you're trying to teach them or show them how to do something, and they keep telling you they know how to do it, and they don't? You know, I know. Or when's the last time you learned the hard way? You thought you knew how to do something, but you learned the hard way that you didn't. I grew up with a bunch of kids that liked to ski. They all went skiing. I didn't go skiing. And I pestered them, take me skiing, take me skiing. So they got all the ski equipment together, you know, and they're going to take me up skiing, you know. So they borrowed this and that, and I've got enough equipment to go. And we get up there, and when we get to the lodge, I'm looking up. It's just, it's amazing. I've been there before, you know. Steep hill, and people are skiing down. I see the chairlift. It's just like awesome, you know. And I'm going to get to go skiing today, you know. And I've been wanting to go skiing, and so we all get our gear, and I start following them, and one friend says, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going with you guys, you know, we're heading towards the chairlift. He goes, you can't go up there. You've never learned how to ski. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do today? He says, you're skiing over there. And he pointed to a little area off to the side that looked completely flat to me. It didn't look like anything, and I said, what is that? And he goes, that's the bunny hill. I was like, the bunny hill? With the rope toe. It's like rope toe, and so I get my stuff and I go over there, and it's like hardly any incline at all, and there's this little rope going by, and I don't even know how I got my skis on, but I get them on and I grab the rope, and it's pulling me up at the slowest speed ever. I look in front of me and behind me, and there's just 5-year-olds everywhere and one big guy, and you know, I'm going up, and I get to the top of this thing, you know, and it's embarrassing. And I skied, you know, somehow I make it down, and I'm doing pretty well. You know, someone had showed me how to snow plow, and so I'm kind of going down this little tiny, and I get to the bottom of it, and I'm like, I know how to ski. I'm not going on this anymore. This is for babies. I'm not doing this. And so I'm going to go find my friends. So I somehow make it over to the chairlift area. There's a big line of people there, and you know, I'm trying to look all cool, like I know how to ski, I can ski, I can do this, you know, because I said to myself, I can ski. And I get in line with everybody else, and right off the bat I realize it's kind of hard to move along with these skis on, you know, kind of like going slowly, and I'm trying to act all cool as I get there, and I'm watching the chairlift. And it comes down, and as it kind of gets around, I'm watching people as they get in position, and they just sort of jump in the chair and take off. I'm thinking, that's not going to be very, it's going to be kind of hard, you know. So here comes the chair, and it's my turn to go, and now I'm pretty nervous, you know. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And there's another guy there that looks super, super cool. He's got the right goggles and everything, and he's going to go up too, and I'm on my side like this, and I just hesitated a moment. I didn't get quite enough in front of it, and the chair came up behind me and knocked me right down to my knees and banged me in the head. Went all sideways, and he jumped in the chair and kind of got in, and as the chair started to go, I was hanging on, being drug, looking not very cool. Somehow, I like scamper up into the chair, you know, and now we're going, and I never made eye contact with him again. I'm just kind of sitting there, and I didn't realize how high the chair got. You know, I never even like noticed it, you know. I was like, that's pretty high, you know. And the chair's going up there, and I'm thinking, you know, have you ever done this before? There's a place you're supposed to be, but you don't want to be there. And then you go to the place that you want to be, and you realize you're not supposed to be there. I looked over at the rope toe and the bunny hill, and it looked so inviting. I was like, I want to go back with my little friends. You know, it's just, no, now I'm, you know. And sometimes in life, you know, you get into a process, and you go for a little while. So now I'm on the chair. And I look up ahead, and I see what looks like a little guard shack, and like a little kind of a small little deck alongside of it. And I'm watching people as they go, and the chair would go, and there'd be people in it, and it dipped down, and then it would come back up, and they'd be gone. And I'm thinking, oh, well, that must be where you get off the chairlift, you know. And so I'm in the chair, and I'm already like this, and we come to the area where it's sort of flat, and my skis are on the ground, and we're kind of going like this, and the guy next to me just skis right off, and the chair never stops. I'm like, hey, where are you going? And then all of a sudden, I notice the chair's going up again, and I never got off. And I'm thinking, stop the chair. And people are like, jump, jump. And I'm like, jump. And I just went all the way back around. How teachable are you? You know, when you come into Christianity, you start to follow Jesus, and you're just like, it never occurs to you there's things you have to learn. You learn how to renew your strength. It just doesn't come natural. Strength comes and goes in life, but you can learn how for it to be renewed. That's how it happens. Number one in your notes, walk in constant forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't an event. It's a way of being. And one of the ways to renew your strength is to walk in constant forgiveness. Let's read a little part of the Bible here. What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven? What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record? It takes so much energy to deal with guilt. It takes a lot of strength to deal with your record when it's not cleared. If you spend this entire year dealing with your guilt and trying to always clear your record, it takes a lot of effort to ignore your record. That's not my record, Jesus. It takes a lot of energy to hide your record or defend your record. Or we used to live in this old house, and we lived there for a long time, and the wiring was really super, super old. And in the kitchen, you couldn't run the microwave and the toaster at the same time. If you ran them at the same time, it blew the breaker and the power went out. You know, I used to always try it. I would time it out. I'd get the toast going in there, and then I'd turn the microwave on, and I knew I had like 20 seconds before it blew. You know, I'd stand right there, and sure enough, I'd miss it. Everything would go out. Because if you plug too much in, there wasn't enough power. And do you know, when you plug in too many things in your record and it's not cleared, you have a power outage. You only have so much energy. You're only going to have so much strength this year. And if you use a lot of your strength dealing with guilt, you won't have enough of it. If you lose a lot of your strength dealing with your record, you're not going to have enough of it. How happy is the person who's had their record cleared away? One of the ways... You wouldn't think this, but one of the ways you renew your strength is you have God remove your guilt. Because it takes a lot of strength to deal with guilt and our record. Now, look at the next part of this. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was zapped in the heat of summer. I wanted to ask you a question. Is there anything you know you're supposed to be doing and you're refusing? It takes a lot of energy to refuse when you know you're supposed to do something. It takes a lot of energy when you know what's supposed to be happening in your life and you refuse to do it. That takes energy and strength. Last week there was someone in the church that had just a terrible thing happen in their family. You may have heard about it. It was just up on 5600. One of their family members was in a car accident at 2 in the morning and lost their life. And it was just the worst thing. And I was greeting outside like I always do. She came in. She gave me a hug. She's crying. She said, would you come and be with the family today? I said, I will. And after service, let's talk. Tell me where it's at. And after service, I was talking to people. And I went too long. And she had to leave. And it was over. And she was gone. And I didn't know where to go. You know, I'm not super, super comfortable in that setting, but I've learned that it's an important place to be. And so I know I got to find it, but here's what happened. I started to kind of rationalize it a little bit, like, well, I don't know how to find it, and I don't even know the people. I don't know what to wear. I mean, I'm not sure I should go, and it's been a long day, and she didn't wait for me, and I started to kind of, and then I could feel the Lord saying, you need to be there. And then the refusal came up. How do you talk yourself into refusing to be where you know you're supposed to be? And it takes a lot of energy. I had lots of conversations with myself, and I could feel the strength start to be zapped as I talked myself into it was okay to not be where I knew I was supposed to be. Because I'm just like you, that's not the easiest place for me to be. And I went home and I could feel it, you know, because I know myself by now that I know what I'm like when I'm refusing. I'm like, you know, I'm almost like a little kid. But I also know this, is that when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, the after effect is guilt and shame. How many times in my life have I missed it and then thought, God, why didn't I just go? Why didn't I just do it? And then I feel bad for days and days or weeks, and the guilt and the shame, it zaps me of my strength. Just because I refused to do what I knew I was supposed to do, what are you supposed to be doing right now in your life? And you're refusing. And the day is going to come where you go, why didn't I just do it? Now I don't feel good. And you feel, and the guilt and the shame, it zaps me of my strength. So I went online and I found the article. And I found out where it was. And Clarice said, my wife said she'd come with me. And we drove up there, and we found the spot. And we were the first ones there. And we sat in our car, and then the cars started coming. And then we saw the person from church that we know. And we got out, and we gave her a hug. And then, I mean, this was amazing. It happened at 2 a.m. We're at like 1 p.m. now. This has just happened. And the family just starts pouring in. Car after car after car, person after person just coming in. And I was standing with our friend, and a man starts coming towards me, and she whispers, she goes, that's the father. And he starts coming towards me, and I put my hand out, and he just grabbed me. He says, hey, man, I'm way past handshakes. So when a loss like this happens, he has held me. I held him. Never seen him in my life. Did not matter. And at one point, they had a cross and a whole lot of things on the ground there. And everybody, he said, group hug, and all. I mean, there was a lot of people. They all came together, and they're all holding each other. And everybody puts their crap aside. You know, you could tell there's probably tension in the air. Things, it's a big family. They put it all aside, and they're just with each other. And he turns to me in front of everybody. He says, would you say a prayer? Let me tell you, I was so glad that refuse did not win that day. When I with all my heart, I cried out, help us, God. We're hurting. When you refuse to do something that God has for you, you say two things. God, you don't have my best interests in mind. You don't know what you're doing. You can't guide my life. You don't care enough about me. And number two, you're saying, I'd rather go through the guilt and the shame. See, what I've discovered, if I just walk in it, don't refuse. And in this case, it's talking about confession. Listen to as it goes on. But then I decided to confess my sins to the Lord. I'm done refusing. This is what happens when you're done refusing. I'm done refusing. Then I decided to confess my sins to the Lord. I stopped hiding my guilt, and I told you about my sins. We had a public pool where I grew up, and sometimes they'd throw these big beach balls or balls for us to play. We used to play this game. Who could keep the beach ball underneath the water the longest? We'd have this big beach ball. We'd force it underneath the water, and you'd keep it down. And two or three guys would have it, and pretty soon it'd start to get squirrely, and you'd try to hold it down, and then it would get fly up. It's a picture of what's happening here. Trying to hide sins. You never can. And listen to the results. This is so awesome. And you forgave them all. Do you have a sin you're pretty certain you could never talk to God about? Something you did or was done to you? It's like, mm-mm. That one stays under lock and key. It's zapping your strength. If you want this to be the best year, confess it. He'll forgive you. Listen to the result. You surrounded me and protect me, so I sing about the way you saved me. Is that awesome? He goes skipping down the road singing. Let me tell you about God. I thought I never could tell him about that. He forgave me. My strength is back. Sometimes it's really big and sometimes it's really small. A number of years ago, my friend asked me to be in his wedding. It was another state. Clarice and I were barely married. My first son was small. We had no money. I mean, no money. I mean, rice, soy sauce, like, no money. No money. And he wants me to come to the wedding. And I told him, I said, Todd, I can't. I don't. It's embarrassing to say. I said, I don't have any money. I can't. He said, I'll pay your way. I said, Todd, if you pay me, I promise when I get on my feet, I'll pay you back. So I fly out to the wedding. We have this big time. He pays for everything. And I get back home, and I start to get on my feet, and there's other places to put the money. And I keep procrastinating, put it off. I'll get him next month. I'll get him next. A year goes by. I'll pay Todd back. I never paid him. It bothered me. I knew I didn't pay him. I told him I'd pay him back, and I never paid him. I was in the ministry, it was a particularly difficult time where I just felt like I didn't have any strength. And I looked at my calendar in my life. I said, nothing's really changed in my life. Why am I tired all the time? I can't keep up. And like nothing had really changed. And the Lord came to me and said, you never paid Todd back. Zapping your strength. I said, oh, God, I'm so sorry. He said, call Todd. So I called Todd up. I said, Todd, I was so embarrassed because I hadn't talked. You know how it is when you have something with somebody, you don't talk to him. A good friend of mine, I totally avoid him, not because of him or me, because of my sin, zapping my strength. I said, Todd, I told you I'd pay you back. I never paid you back. And it's my fault. I've had the money. I just never did it. He says, ah, Robin, I never held it against you. Whew. I was singing on the inside, guys. And so will you be. Just confess it. Be forgiven. Give you a small thing. At work the other day, we took a test. And the first thing they said is, we're going to have you take this test. Everybody had to take an individual test. Every salesperson. Going to have you take the test. Don't tell any other salespeople what the questions are on the test or the answers. Do you promise? Yeah, I promise. So I take the test and I leave. And I'm thinking to myself, now be careful here. Like you made a promise. And everybody's hanging out around the water cooler talking. And they're talking about the test and things like that. And I'm being really super careful. It's like, I know I'm not supposed to say anything. And then I start blabbing. Jeez. And I told them one of the answers of the test. I knew I did it when I did it. And I don't know if you ever do anything that's really super small, but it's like a little rock in your shoe. It's like in your heart. It's like, it's just a small little thing. It's one thing, God. It's like, these guys do lots of worse things than me. It's just, but it's a little rock, So I slipped away to a private place. I said, God, I'm sorry. I knew better than that. I forgive you, Robin. My strength was back. What do you need to confess this year? But more important, and please hear this, are you willing to walk in forgiveness? We don't go to a place once a week and make confession. We walk with Jesus, and we talk to him anytime we want. Forgive me. What do you need to confess? Your strength is zapped. I'm going to the gym. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to get a new hairdo. I'm going to get my nails done. That's not bringing your strength back. Skip the nails and the $85 it takes to get them done and confess to the Lord and be strong again. Number two. This is a great one. Trust in the provision of God's power. And I know that sounds like a cliche, so hang with me. I know that's like a little Hallmark card. Trust in the provision of God's power. Yippee-yay. Just stay with me, though. Because here's what I'm saying. I'm saying you can get up every single morning and say, God, I'm not enough. I need your power today. Those that know me, and I've said it before, every single morning when I get to work, I have a job that can get on my nerves. I don't know if you do, but I have people at work that get on my nerves. My job can get on my nerves. I can go to work and be on top of the world. In 15 minutes, the world feels like it's on top of me and I'm cussing. I'm just like, it's just, I have that kind of job. And I started a while back when I get to work, before I get out of my car, I just tell God, God, please, I need some strength today. Can you get me through it? Can you give me power today, God? I need some. And look here, I wanted to say this, and it's not in your notes, but maybe you write it down. Problems are opportunity for God to show his power. Because we all have problems. Mine's at work. Let me ask you this question. What's the biggest problem in your life? What's the biggest one? Don't elbow them next to you. Don't do that. What is it? What's the biggest problem in your life? And it's a huge one. And I want to read something to you here out of the Bible. It's in your notes, but follow along. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Talking about God. Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth? Has the Lord needed anyone's advice? All the nations are like nothing before him. We have these huge problems. And the writer's reminding us, God's held the oceans in his hands. He's trying to get us some perspective. He's measured out. He knows how much the earth weighs. we're just flying around on it. He's never taken counsel. The nations with all their glory and their flags and their money and all their stuff, they're nothing to him. And then this next part I love. How can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Several years ago, Clarice and I got in one of those arguments that it just seems like it goes on and on and on. It's not like a level 10 argument, but it's like a 6 to 8.5 level argument. Maybe you get in those, and they just seem like they go on throughout the day, and they get down to like number 6, and you're like, I guess we're okay and everything, but you know you're not. You don't do anything about it. They go back up to 8, and you just can't figure out how to get out of them, and they're sort of like half argument, kind of half fight, and they're 6, 7, 8. They just go the next day, and it's like 2 or 3 days we're in this thing, and I can't figure out how to get out of it. I've been marriage family counselor 25 years. What's going on here? I can't figure out what to say or to get out. I try to say something to her, it just makes it worse. And I have to go on a trip out of state to see a friend of mine. I have a vacation planned. I'm going to be gone for 3 days. I'm going to see this friend of mine I went to school with, And I was just like, I want to get this set up. So I take a last shot at it before I leave because I want to tie it all off so I can feel good to go on vacation. It just makes it worse, I'm on the plane. Not good. You guys are perfectly married, so you don't know anything about it, but bear with me. And so I get up to my friend's house, and I'm talking to him, and I say, it's not going very well with Clarice, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong, and just sort of talking about, and she calls right on the phone during this time. So I've only been there for like 20 minutes, she calls, and I see her on the phone there, and I answer it, and 30 seconds into the phone call, we're at it again. I can't believe it. I'm thinking to myself, I'm on vacation. It's just like we're going back and forth on the phone, and I can't figure this thing out. What do I need to say? Have you been there? And it's just like, and my friend walks by, and he stops, and he says, ask her this, and he gives me a question. And I ask her the question, and all goes calm. And I'm like, I've got 25 years of marriage and counseling experience. How did you do that? And here's my point. God's always walking by. He's always got an answer. And there's going to be a lot of times you're not going to have the answer. And the problem is going to be way too big. And you're going to need the person that can hold the ocean in his hand and he knows the weight of the earth to say something to you, to help you through it. You're going to need God. That you are you willing? Are you willing to say to him, God, I need the provision of your power this year? I started a doctoral program 4 years ago, and I'm coming up on the last part of it right now. I'm writing the dissertation. And, you know, you have just a little ways to go. It's a 200-page paper. You have to get it done. I've got about 120 pages done. And so I've been 4 years chipping away at this thing. And last week, I got to the place where I just like, I can't do it anymore, man. I'm so done with these books and writing this stuff. I'm just completely finished. Have you ever had this happen? Has it ever felt so good to entertain the idea of quitting that quitting felt like God? I even told a couple people in my family, I think maybe God's telling me it's okay for me to take a break from it. And they're all looking at me sideways. And it felt so good. It's like, have you ever had it? Like just the feeling of quitting feels like God. This is must be how heaven feels, you know? It's just like, you get confused. It must be God. There's a guy that's been on the diet. He's struggling, gets up in the morning. He's like, I got to have a donut. You know, so I got to have a donut today. He has to go by this donut shop every day. You know, he's driving by. He says, okay, here's what it is, God. You know, I know God wants to have, God says I can have a donut. He wants me to have a donut if there's a parking place open right before the donut shop, you know. So he drives by, and the fifth time around as he was circling. You ever been there? It's like, this feels like God, and I had to come back to the place where I just had to say, God, I don't got it. I need your power. We're not in it alone. Well, where is it in your life? And you're going to need the provision of God's power, or you're not going to make it. And it's going to feel good when you start to quit. Or you can go before him like I did this week and say, God, I'm staying with it, but I'm going to need your power. If you want this year to be the best year of your life, you're going to have to face it. You're not enough. Number three, and last one, take time to pray. I told you I spend time praying before I go into work, and I'll spend a little time sort of praying and asking God to help me through it. And look at this prayer in the Bible. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain." And God granted his request, and that's the part I want you to hear. What if God were to grant your request to take time to pray? See, what we're saying today is you have to learn how to renew your strength. If you walk in guilt and shame, and your strength is that. But if you learn how to walk in forgiveness, you'll be stronger. You have to learn how to turn to God and say, it's not about pulling myself up today. It's about going to you and saying, I need more power. You have to learn how to take time to pray. He says, God, I just want more territory. It must have been a landowner. Give me more, God. I need more in this area of my life. And protect me so I don't get hurt, God. Stay close to me. What if you had three things this year? You just prayed about them every single day.